Welcome and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2019, and this is the 50th podcast of Life, Passion and Business. My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. I hope you had a good Christmas break and New Year celebration. I'm just back from a city break in London with the family. Yep, we were staying in a flat overlooking the River Thames at Greenwich, and I got to be a tourist in my home city. We saw in the New Year on the quayside watching fireworks explode over the London skyline. How do you feel about New Year? It has a special significance for the wife and I, and as it was our first date some 25 years ago, hence the city break. So I have to admit, I had planned to get this podcast out nice and early today, but between family, poor connections and a noisy environment, it did not happen. Gosh, it's now 11:35 on January the 1st, and I have rewritten this intro several times, so now I'm just going to make the podcast. So how is New Year for you? Has it always been a positive experience? Do you feel good about New Year, or do you have kind of uneasy feelings about it? You see, New Year's Eve is a time for reflection, a time for thinking about what's gone before and what's coming. And it's not always represented good times for me. I've often struggled with it, certainly as a young man. There was so much pressure to have a good time. You should enjoy yourself. Go and celebrate. Which normally involved drinking, I seem to remember. But I can remember there were New Year's Eve parties at clubs in London and being with friends and feeling very much alone. And I think it's this reflective aspect of New Year that kind of makes me feel somewhat ambiguous about it. And of course, as it is a celebration for the family here, It doesn't feel quite so serious, but I do find the Christmas to New Year process a bit of a kind of life standing still. The podcast changes that, of course, and that has given me more focus. And so here we are looking at the New Year transition. And I thought a good subject to discuss at this time of year would be vision, goals, and how we address that. Now, why is it we put so much focus on this new year? Why is it we set ourselves up so much at this point in time? Okay, I get it. You know, the new year is a definite time marker and proof that what you said you would do either did happen or did not happen. And obviously, in business, we have this thing. As an entrepreneur, you must have a vision. Yeah, and there's other aspects or other books will tell you the drive for goals and big vision is a key foundation of a successful life or business. And I have to say, I wonder if it's true. I have met people that never set goals and they fall forward in a life that flows with beauty and ease. And it's like, how does that work? A few years ago, I did the 12-week year. Now, that's a nice book. I've forgotten who published it, but I bought the book, and it's about dividing the year into four chunks. And so you basically work a 90-day cycle to get stuff done. What I can say to you, I set a plan, I used the book, and it did not happen. And I cannot tell you why it didn't happen. Well, I can sort of. And part of it was I couldn't find a strong enough goal or action that I could invest in that didn't slip away from me as I was through the project. And by the end of 90 days, I had probably achieved about a quarter of what I set out to achieve. So is that a failing in me? a failing in the idea of goal setting part of me. You know, it is hard to determine what I actually want in life. And this podcast certainly helps. And I've spoken about this a lot, about this kind of lack of direction from myself. And I have all the tools in front of me, and I can help other people do it. I can certainly help other people with this process, but I struggle to do it for myself all the time. And in the past, what I recognized is that I didn't set goals, but I didn't choose. I didn't choose anything. What I recognize now was not choosing was actually a choice. And so over the past few years, I have made conscious choice, and that has made a difference. And to some extent, I choose the path of least resistance. As I said, this podcast helps. It gives me a routine, a process. So as I said at the beginning of this podcast, goals and vision is a big part of this time of year, and I thought I would explore it. Because I know there are people that want to get stuff done, despite having these struggles. So I thought I would use this 50th show to address this idea. You know, how do we set healthy goals and have big vision and get it to work for us? So I invited two of my past guests to join me on the program. And the reason I invited them is because they both have visionary projects that seem to be moving forward. Now, Simon Jordan was a guest on program 3. And he's a brand and marketing man. And yes, we're in the similar field of business. But Simon has a new project, and its birth and growth is relevant to this discussion. Now, my second guest is Susie Beaumont, and she was a guest in podcast 37. And her project is unfolding. But like Simon, she's made discoveries along the way that fly in the face of how we understand the traditional goal setting model. So this is an exploration of how the three of us have experienced the goal setting and the visionary field and what it means to have a big vision and make it work for you. So here is the 50th program of Life, Passion and Business. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business, and this is episode 50. Did I think I'd ever get here? I had no idea, but it's amazing to be here. And today, as a special program, I have two past guests that I've invited to enjoy the party with me. Well, party, the show with me. I've got Simon Jordan, and he was my third guest on this podcast. And I have got Susie Beaumont, and she was guest number 37. Now, what I know about these two guys is they both have vision, a big vision for where they're heading. And so I thought I would take the opportunity to explore big vision, because we're all told we need to have one, or at least some sort of vision. So I want to explore the idea of that today with my guests. So welcome, Susie and Simon.
Thank you. Hello. It's lovely to be back.
Lovely. Yeah, I love what you've done with the place, Paul, and the last time I was here. Fantastic. I love what you've done with the curtains. It's amazing.
Yeah, they are good, aren't they?
We're not in the same room,
people. We are all speaking from different ends of the country. Well, actually, Susie and I are closer. Susie is at the other side of Inverness, and I'm the other side of Inverness. And Simon's on the south coast now, Simon. You've moved from Wales, haven't you?
I'm down in Dorset. Yeah, I'm down in Dorset. Yeah, down from the mountains to the sea. Well, I was near the sea. Yeah, very lucky to have moved down here. It's a beautiful part of the world. Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I know, Paul. You could have invited me to your house, but you didn't.
No, I didn't. The other thing I know we all have in common is we're all runners, except Simon is a mad runner because he'll do 75 miles in a day or something stupid.
Well, no, not quite. Well, I'm training for the next London Marathon, so I'm thinking, shall I go for a run this afternoon? Well, I don't know. I have had a glass of cider for Christmas.
Didn't you do an ultra marathon or something?
No, you know what? I had to pull out because I was training. Here we go. Name dropping place. I was training in Lanzarote because it's a great place for triathlon and stuff like that. And I picked up a virus, and I could do sweet nothing for about 2 months. So I had to drop out of the marathon, ultra marathon. So, but I have got a mad thing called a tough guy in, which is like the initial. You've heard of Tough Mudder. That's coming up in January, which means we're cracking the ice. It's an 8 mile. Course of just ridiculousness. Anyway, it's all good fun.
Yeah. I know you do your morning runs, don't you, Susie?
I do, yeah. I love my morning runs. I mean, I used to do half marathons and 10Ks and things like that, but now I just run for the pure enjoyment of just setting me up for the day. So I'm doing tiny, tiny distances in comparison to what Simon is doing and what you're doing, Paul. You recently did your 10K as well. But
My 10K in September, yeah. I'm not sure where I'm taking the running. I know I miss it when I don't do it.
Yeah.
I did 6K this morning. Well, say that 11 o'clock today, I did 6K. So, yeah, I don't know. And I'm kind of tentatively thinking about doing a half marathon in March this year. Next year, March next year, because there's
You could easily do it.
I probably could, but it is 20K compared to the 10, isn't it? So it's
just time on your feet. That's all it is. I mean, the things you don't have to do, you know, think, oh, you've got to do marathons. You've got to just do what you were saying, Susie. Mm. It's just to get out. And like me, if I don't do anything for 2 days, I start to get twitchy. I think it's great for mental health. It's being connected as well. Mm. And it's being connected to you, and you listen to your body. I just love it. I couldn't think of anything. You know, if there's one thing I had to give up, it wouldn't be that. It's beautiful. It's a lovely thing to be able to do.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. When I used to do the races, I actually just found it such a chore running, because it was constantly, oh, I've got to do 6 miles today, or I've got to do this today. And now just going out, like you said, connecting with nature. I mean, my favorite run is running beside me in Culloden Woods, and just feeling nature and trees and connecting. It really does just set me up for the day. And it doesn't matter whether if I go 2 miles or 6 miles, you know, it's irrelevant. It's just the enjoyment of actually getting out. And there are days where I'm just like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. But I never come back from a run going, I regretted that. So, yeah.
Well, isn't it weird? You're tired and yet you think, right, I'm going to go for a run. Well, hang on. To do that, you're going to expend energy. But then when you come back, you've got more energy.
Absolutely. Just recharge the Duracell bunny, you know? Yeah, definitely.
It's brilliant, yeah. And I love the shower afterwards. Oh. Anyway, this is another podcast from Runner's World.
But you know, interestingly, what this is highlights here is the difference between the three of us, in a way. You can have a vision, you have a goal for your running, or you can just run.
Yeah.
And what a great kind of parallel with life, because majority of people in the world do not have a goal in their life. They just fall forward.
So I don't know. I think I disagree. I think most people do have goals. They just don't take the steps to apply them. Like, lots of us have things that we would like to do and think, oh, someday I'll do that. Someday I'll do that. And just never quite, you know, just keep putting it off. And it's, you know, whilst I think goals are important, I also think they can be quite limiting as well, because they do sort of close down the realms of possibility of what you can do. You know, like the things that I've done in the last few years, there's no way if I had tried to set goals that I would have envisioned what I'm doing now. And it's only just by putting one foot in, doing small baby steps and kind of going, well, I'd like to do this. I want this in my life. So I'm going to make small steps to make that happen. And it's just growing momentum. So it's been an interesting journey. So, but
what do you think is the difference between goals and dreams?
Yes, yeah.
Is it people
same
like,
old Simon? Same old Simon?
There's a difference between having a dream and a goal. For me, maybe it's just the terminology, what I interpret it as a goal is something a bit more formulated, a bit more, well, there's steps towards, whereas a dream is just one day kind of thing. Maybe that's just my interpretation.
Isn't a dream an unlanded goal?
Possibly, a goal
without legs as such. It's nebulous, as you say, nebulous.
Yeah.
So let's take it in turns here, because Susie, you go first. I know before you launched your projects, you didn't really have a clear vision for it, but now you do. So what's been the difference? And perhaps you better say what the project is, what your big vision is.
Yeah, I mean,
on the spot now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my vision, I mean, it's still evolving. It's like it's evolving week after week. Every day I have big, you know, I think about what I want and where I'm going, and then it just constantly keeps evolving. But I mean, essentially, I would just love everybody in the world to have a personal development practice, because I believe this is the key to changing the world. You know, it's about self-empowerment, self-development, taking extreme ownership of your life. And whatever that means for you, you know, it's just taking the steps to improve your life, make so that you think better, so that when you think better, you make better choices. When you make better choices, you get better results. And that's when our world starts to change. So it really is changing the world through personal development. But that can mean a whole rake of things. And the thing is, when we become sort of self-aware of our actions, then we realize the impact of our actions on our immediate world, our family life, on our working life, but also on our environment, you know, the impact that we're having on the greater world and how we show up in the world. So my big vision is very much, you know, I just love inspiring people to become the absolute best that they can be, the best version of themselves, reach their potential, whatever that may be and whatever that is to them. And I do that through conferences and events and coaching programs. And, you know, I'm starting that journey. I'm developing and growing myself as I go along. And that's what I love, because it's not just about, you know, it's not about massaging my ego and trying to change the world. It's I'm learning in the whole process. I am definitely not the finished article at all. And that's the best thing about it, is that I'm still continuing on my personal development. So
you took a big leap of faith, didn't you? Because I mean, you had the successful job and the career in radio.
Yeah, definitely.
And you stepped into the abyss.
Yeah, I've stepped
for the sake of a vision.
I know. I have left a very cushy day job as a radio producer with BBC. I've been there 18 years. It's something, a job I knew inside out. I loved. I got to phone people up every day and find out all about their lives and connect with people. I get inspired by people. I'd see what they'd come through. I'd get to put that out in radio programs. I loved that job, and it was a great job. It was secure and it was cushy and it was well paid and gave me a nice lifestyle. And yeah, I've stepped into not knowing when my next pay comes from, not knowing if this is going to work out, how it's all going to pan out. And yeah, but I wouldn't change it, because I'm so passionate about what I do and just love it so much. And realized, actually, I can't, even though, you know, you look at the BBC and you can see used correctly, can be a very powerful tool. The media can be a very powerful tool. But I just felt that I was actually more powerful outside of the BBC than I was inside it. And that's quite a statement to make. But, you know, I realized I could be having more of an impact to help people and help the environment and the world outside it. So, yeah, once I'd had that realization, it was a no-brainer. I had to follow my dreams and my passions and, yeah, just go for it. Take the leap. So,
well done.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Oh, Simon, I know your vision came from walking on a beach.
Yeah.
Indeed. Do you want to say more about that?
I collect seashells from the seashore. No. It was, what was it, last year, 2017, 25th of June. I lived near the beach. I've now moved and live near another beach now, and I've always loved Mother Nature. My business has taken me all over the world, and I've seen a lot of places, and it's just it means a lot to me. I think we have a lot to give back to the planet. And I saw a dying seabird called a Manx shearwater, and it was dying because it had a plastic locking ring, the thing you find on your milk bottles. You know, you take the cap off and there's that ring with horrible teeth on it. It's like a death trap to an animal. That was locked around its neck, couldn't feed. Long and short of it, the bird died. I then saw a video on Facebook of a small whale that had come into a port. It wouldn't leave, so they had to shoot it because it was blocking the way. They pulled it out, had stomach filled with plastic bags. Then that afternoon, I was on a surfing beach called Hell's Mouth, and there was so much plastic let around. I see lots of people walking along, enjoying the view, and saying how wonderful it is and how great, but not picking up anything, even though there's three, in fact, huge recycling bins at the end of the beach walk. And I thought, you know, if everyone just picked up five things from the beach, it would clear pretty quickly. And I thought, ah, five things clear, that's an idea. So I went back. I'm very much just get on and do it. You get an idea, you run with it. I see an idea as a gift. And created the Instagram account, set up a website, and literally within 2 months it had gone global. And phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I've just launched, well, it launches tomorrow, because this goes out 1st of January, it will launch, and please join in as well, I want as many people as possible. It's called the Million Piece Pickup. And what's the Million Piece Pickup Pledge? And I'm asking for 550 people. Well, I tentatively launched this on Friday, the soft launch, and we've now, it's about 27,000 people. So, and it's just to basically do a pledge of picking up 5 bits of litter a day. It doesn't matter where on the planet you live. And it's using an app as well. But if you go on to 5thingsclear.com website, you'll see it, number 5thingsclear.com. And you go in there, and it's to, because if we have 550 people all picking up 5 pieces of litter a day, it will mean well over 1 million pieces picked up in 2019. But just from that initiative, that idea, I think it's very much about being in the universal flow and being receptive, being open, quieting your mind and listening to stuff that comes through and running with it when it comes through. That has taken me to Hungary to spend 10 days over there on a project clearing up the River Tisza of plastic, which was a phenomenal project. We picked up over 10 tons of plastic, working with a company in Hong Kong. I'm now working with a client in LA doing their marketing. I'm the creative director essentially for a company over there working on environmental cup, which will help stop people using paper cups, because your local coffee shop paper cup isn't actually paper, it's got polyurethane in it, which is plastic, and it's also cancerous when when it leaches into you. So yeah, it's just from that one idea, it's been phenomenal. And it's growing and growing and growing. It's, you know, as I said, it went global within 2 months. People from Japan, Philippines, Russia, all across the States, Canada, Africa, South Africa, all across Europe, tagging, using the hashtag, tagging me, getting involved. Just phenomenal, just from one idea. And in terms of, did I have a big idea for it? Not back then. Lots of things I've launched, I've thought, this is how I'd like it to go. And it's about just listening, being in touch with the universal flow. People know a lot about that, but it's the energy that runs everything, essentially, and being, call it the force if you want to be all Star Wars about it, but being in touch with that. And it has delivered. I've never created anything that has been so easy. You know, I've thought, that'd be an idea. Bang, it's presented. I mean, 2 days before the guys in LA, I hadn't pitched about it. I hadn't written anything about it because I run a marketing company as well. And I said to my other half, Gene, I said, you know, it'd be great to work with a company, actually help them market and brand and do the creative work on a company that's doing something big in the world with the environment. 2 days later, bang, they contacted me from nowhere. I'd never heard of these guys before, you know. It's just
so that's,
it's amazing.
That's some amazing alignment, isn't it? That's kind of...
Power of intention.
Oh, we absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It's phenomenal. So
prior to this, I mean, I'll ask you first, Simon. Prior to this, have you had any, were you always a big vision person? Have you always worked in that way in terms of setting goals, intentions and visions? Or are you more, you sound quite free-flowing, actually.
It is very free-flowing now. My marketing branding business, I set up 10 years ago next March, and I pretty much like you, Susie, I was working at Sky TV, very well paid, all good, but I was fed up working for the corporates. I wanted to do my own thing and make a difference in the world. And I was chasing the dollar, causing a lot of stress, a lot of health issues, and just constantly, you know, I've got to do this, got to do that. And social media was still quite small back then, nothing like the giants it is now. But I was doing everything. I had a radio show. I had a TV, online TV show and all this kind of stuff and blog and bloody went mad. But I did have a vision. I said, yeah, I really want to speak in the States. And the second year of my business, I thought, right, I'm going to start doing a video every week. And it was just adding value. It was marketing stuff. Simon Jordan, Jordan.tv was the show. And within 7 months, I was picked up, not off the street. I was picked up. Someone contacted me. I got all expenses paid to go and speak at an event over in San Diego. That was the vision. I wanted to be speaking over there. And that happened. But now, you know what? I just sit back and I will put the idea out there but I don't put anything, I don't attach anything to it. Because when you attach stuff to it, you guys will know this, Susie, you will definitely, when you attach things to it, like, oh, I really want that. Well, if you want it, you're coming from a place of you're not having it, which is a place of lack, place of fear, whatever, stress. Now I just go, yeah, it will happen. I know it will present to me as it will happen. I mean, within the last 2 years, I could go really in depth in here, but it has been so phenomenally easy with everything that's come through. You know, now I probably work about 3 hours a day because my business works. I work around my business. It works perfectly. I've got a team of people that do my stuff. Some days I'm going, God, I've actually got nothing to do. This is right. Well, I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to go out for the dogs. And it's all been so simple because I've just given up the stress of it all. And the Five Things Clear has just grown. I'm now involved with World Cleanup Day as well. And it's been so simple. I think when people just shut up, stop their mind, stop worrying, stop stressing, get out of their way. This is the problem. We get in our own way. Then you will be amazed at what will happen. But it's just we distract ourselves. We use social media. We fill our minds and bodies with crap food and crap TV and stuff like that. Well, you'll never hear. You'll never be able to be receptive when you've got that kind of noise in your life. A lot of people are frightened of listening because of what might come up, the voices or whatever. I'm not talking about schizophrenia or anything, but just, you know, and in those moments of quietness, absolute gold will happen. I'm living proof of that. I'm not going to go into too much detail now, but it is just amazing. That's my two penneth worth.
What's your take on all that, Susie, for you?
In terms of what Simon said, or
in terms of you, how obviously you were working for the BBC, so that I guess that's very structured and goal orientated.
Yeah, I mean, each week it's deadlines, and you know, it can be stressful, and you've got, you know, commitments to meet, and whilst in my younger days I thrived on that, and yeah, like Simon, I very much just filled my world up with lots of distraction and never stop to actually think, what am I about? What are my core values? Am I living my life in keeping with my core values? And, it, you know, I kind of hit my 30s and it was that moment where, okay, I've got the relationship, I've got the good job, I've got the nice house, the car, the money in the bank. And I was like, I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. Why? I've done everything that society expects of me. You know, or that, you know, you go through school, you go to uni, you study, do what you're supposed to or is expected of you, and you just reach a point of thinking, is this it? Is this what my life is about? And I'd obviously had bereavements in my life that really just changed my whole perspective and started making me question where I was going and what was life about. And, you know, I remember reading this quote and it said, you know, when you learn about dying, you learn about living. And suddenly my whole ethos on life was like, well, if this is going to be me for the next 60 years, I'd rather just check out now, quite frankly, because why am I doing this? So, yeah, I went on a whole kind of journey myself just to find out who I was, because I really didn't know who I was, what I stood for or anything. I was just living up to everybody else's expectations, you know, family expectations, work expectations, and not actually asking, what does Susie want? What do I believe? So I started unpicking all those things. Like Simon says, you know, creating space, giving up the stress and attachment. And now I'm, you know, still in the early days. I'm in the first 2 years of my venture and, you know, love to get to the place where I'm like only working 3 hours a day. However, I am learning that lesson of, because I've really beat myself into the ground going, oh my God, I must get this. I must do this and I must do that. And I'm like, okay, do you know what? Just do what you can and let go of the attachment. And I am realizing that flow is happening and life is becoming easier because I am letting go of the outcome. You know, it's like what will be. And as long as I'm constantly doing my best, then that's all that can ever be asked. and I will learn and grow from those experiences, whatever happens, even though times can be painful and you think, what the hell is this all about? And why am I doing this? And what's it all about? But when you come out the other side of that, you're like, oh, I get it. Oh, okay. And you learn from that experience. But yeah, sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
That's fine. It's fine. I think you've said enough about it anyway. You've obviously, yeah, what you're saying here is about this idea of creating space, which is more that Simon said. Yeah. What is interesting here is that what you're both saying is the antithesis of what people are taught within the business world or the business framework. You know, it's like you are supposed to have a BHAG, you know, a big hairy ass goal or something. You're supposed to be working and driving toward this 10-year plan. And you're supposed to be breaking it down to get there. I mean, there's a most coaches that you go to, business coaches, will say, okay, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? Mm. And what we're saying here is, well, yeah, you can have one of those, but don't hold it too seriously. Hold it loosely.
Well, it's what Simon says. You know, when you get that idea, like I'm a firm believer, if an idea comes into your head, you are ready to put that idea into action because you wouldn't have had that thought in the first place. So as soon as you have the idea, okay, what are the steps I can take towards making this happen? And, you know, if you take those initial steps, then the momentum will just build from that point on. So, you know, whilst, you know, I've got big visions and dreams of where I would like to go, at the core is coming back to, well, what's right in front of me? What do I actually need to do right here, right now, to make that grand plan happen? And not even think about the grand plan, just think about the small steps and just take them. And again, let go of the outcome. And that's what I'm doing. And I mean, I am struggling with it because I'm constantly at the moment being asked by various people, what's your 5-year plan? And if you'd said to me 5 years ago, what is your plan for change your world? There's no way I could have envisioned what I've set up. And, you know, that it just wasn't on my radar. So when I said earlier about having a plan can almost be limiting, because I find myself trying to create a 5-year plan and think I'm just closing down my vision here, because at this moment in time, I've only got the experience and knowledge that I've got right here, right now. So that's limiting my beliefs. However, tomorrow I may learn something new. So that will change the goalposts again for the future, for that 5-year plan. So, you know, that's what I mean by it. It's just constantly evolving. Each day there's new ideas come in, and each day I just put in the steps that I can to make that vision or that goal for that day that happen. So that's how I do, you know. Can we get a bit messy and overwhelming at times, but you know, that's the creative chaos. I love that bit. So
what are your thoughts, Simon, on this the business model that we're all taught and told to follow?
Well, I think I sacked that off a long time ago. I've started saying there is no hustle in the flow. You know, there are people like
Gary. You're not a Gary Vee fan, then?
No, I'm not. Big. No. I don't care how much money he's got. He looks the most unhealthiest entrepreneur on the planet. And, you know, I've seen his videos and I've seen other people copy it now. And I remember there was one where he's outside this office and he's saying, yeah, oh, people are going off to celebrate Christmas and have parties. I'm here working and I've got meetings until 2 a.m. And I think, well, that's really kind of sad. There are people out there. There is more to life than work. Absolutely. You know, don't be, Les Brown says, don't be the richest man in the graveyard. You know, I don't care what you've got, car on your drive or what house you've got. It's how, and there's the line which I absolutely love. I can't remember who quoted it. It's don't think of your resting place in the soil, but think of your place in the hearts, your resting place in the hearts of men and women.
Can you say that again
slowly?
Don't
think of your place. Don't think of your resting place in the soil. Think of your resting place in the hearts of men and women.
That is really nice.
And it's just, what difference can you make? You know, yes, you can work. And I spent a long time stressing about, you know, I came from the corporate life. I've been in the industry 27 years and I've done all that. you know, I've taken the drugs and worked stupid hours and blah, blah, blah. And I think, for what? I would rather have a meaningful existence. This is just me. It's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to be a bloody hippie like I do. But I'm getting more done. I'm more connected. I have, it's just, it's hard to describe. But I'm finishing up a book over Christmas called, you know, From Chaos to Flow and Freedom. And it's a very simple book. And it's just to get rid of that noise. And it's this, oh, you've got to hustle. You've got to do this, got to do that. Well, you know what? If it's hard work, you're not doing it right. Because if you sit back and listen, and again, it's about, I'm not a huge one for meditation. I'm getting better at it. But it's not even that. It's just listening. I get most of my walk, most of my ideas when I'm out walking with the dogs, because I'm out and I'm being connected. The universe is phenomenally powerful, more powerful than you can ever imagine. And it will throw ideas. Susie was saying about ideas. Have you ever read a book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Big Magic? She talks about ideas as being identities, and they will come to you. If you don't grab hold of them and run with it, they will move on to the next person, the next host. And I think that's true. We are given these ideas. We all have a path. And I see, and I've spoken about this before, maybe in the last interview we did, Paul. We're all in the flow, whether you like it or not. There are some people who are sitting back in their boat. This is obviously a metaphor. And they're enjoying it. And they're just looking around them. And they are going with it. There's no resistance. It's just moving with the flow. And they're seeing what comes up. And they're going towards it and being at ease. I mean, nature is all about ease. The tide doesn't battle to come in. The weeds don't battle to grow. But we as humans, as spiritual beings having a human existence, we're a bloody chaos of mess, because our egos get in the way. We try and control everything. And that's the thing, we try and control. You can't control the flow. But going back to this metaphor, there are some people who in their boat, well, I don't want to be in that boat, want to be in that boat. And they say, well, I want to go upstream. And they're clashing into other people who are also being, you know, the wrong energy, and they're trying to control the flow. And that is creating health problems and all this kind of stuff. You see, it's all about balance. There is chaos and there is control. And it's order. That is the order of the universal order. And if there's too much control in your life, and I've seen this time and time, sadly, and I've lost people to cancer. Cancer is chaos. It's not always about health and stuff. It's about what's going on in the energy of you as well. You know, it's where there's control, it's chaos. It's different with kids. This is a whole different conversation. That's just, you know, when kids get cancer, it's just, that's just not right at all. Cancer isn't right. You know, my brother's got it at the moment. It's awful. He's stage 4. But when there's control, there has to be chaos. And I've done it myself when I've tried to control, and I've suddenly so much chaos has come in. And if there's too much chaos, there needs to be control. So there needs to be a balance. But we fill our heads with social media. People grab for the phone as soon as they wake up. That's what's that doing for your head straight away? And it's all that data. We then switch on the news, we do this. So when you limit that, when you become clearer, when your mind becomes clearer, you'll be amazed at the stuff that comes through. I mean, my 5 things clear being one of them. Us moving here, you know, we were working out last night. 2 months ago, we had even thought of moving here. I was happy up in my mountain in Wales, and it all just happened. And suddenly the flow of the river was unbelievably fast and everything fell into place. My other path, Gina, she got a job at the National Trust. And we're like, okay, well, we need a house. Well, if we're going to have a house, I want it to be near the beach. I need to have enough room for my kit. So I had a gym at my other place. We need office. We need all this stuff. I want it to be near the beach, blah, blah, blah. And we said, you know what? We're not going to stress about it. It will come because everything's meant to be. And we got this place, and it has, Janie's got her own yoga room. I've got the gym. I've got an office here. I mean, it's ridiculous. This isn't me saying, hey, look at me. What I'm saying is, when you just shut up and listen and don't put stress and things onto it, amazing things will happen. And then when they do, we still, well, that can't be right. I don't deserve that or whatever. And you think, oh, God, shut up. You know, you do deserve it. You do deserve to be happy. You do deserve to be loved, to be brilliant, to be adored, to be successful, to have money, all of that stuff. But you know what? We're looking and go, oh, no, I don't.
Of course, a lot of people have that vision that to be successful means the grind, means the hustle.
Yes.
And so they have to create that to be successful, or they think they do. And so the universe provides that.
It's an old paradigm, and it's not working anymore. There is a huge shift. And in fact, we're getting spiritual for a minute. The feminine energy is coming in now. So you're like this, Susie. But it is, it's coming in. There are too many Yang women out there who are thinking that they've got to wear testicles to get on in business. Bullshit, excuse my French. It's not. You don't. We need to become, men need to be more feminine. We're the guys that start all the wars and don't communicate properly. But there are women who find that, well, we've got to be stronger and do this. And you know what? I've seen a lot of women get into a lot of problems health-wise, relationship-wise, financially-wise, because they're stepping too much into the yang. You women are yin. We've all got yin and yang inside us. But, you know, us guys need to have a little bit more yin. It's about balance, you see. And when you're off balance, shit's going to happen. It's as simple as that. The universe has to be in balance, like the flow. When I want to be in that part of the river. No, just get bloody balanced. So, you know.
I was at a talk, and I've mentioned this on the podcast a couple of times, and I really must find the lady's name, actually. But she's a cosmologist, but she's also a healer. But she was saying, as a cosmologist, you know, they've done the work. They've looked at matter to the nth degree down at matter. And when they look at matter, they can see it's 99.99% no thing. Mm-hmm. And what's left is a series of vibrations of energy patterns governed by the laws of physics. So when you kind of get it to that everything is energy, of course, anything is possible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's about being in balance, just being in balance with the energy around you.
Yeah. But it's also listening as well. It's listening.
You are listening to energy. You're listening to that energy, that flow.
Yeah. But being aware also. I mean, I went up to London for meetings and various different things. Last week, was it? No, but yeah, I went to Manchester last week. I can't remember what day it is. And I came back and I become more receptive to the energy. And there's a lot of negative energy because people are rushing for work and there's all that stuff. And as an energetic being, we are all energy. Everything is energy. We can pick up on that. And it's, you know, that can cause stress. It's about being aware of that and being knowing the techniques just to strip that stuff away. And you're probably thinking at this moment, well, that guy's really on some kind of weird drug. No, believe me, I've been there. I've done the court, but worn the suits. But the more I learn about this, the more I think, bloody hell, it's so obvious. And yet it's so simple. We just complicate everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've had I've had a similar thing. A lot of people, because I live in the Highlands in Inverness, and a lot of people keep telling me what I'm doing will not work up here and I need to move to London, to Edinburgh, to Glasgow, Manchester. And, you know, I've been really torn with this, and I've had this experience recently where I've just been looking after a friend's flat in Edinburgh. And I was so excited about going to Edinburgh and, like, you know, hanging out with my mates and just living in Edinburgh, cool city. And I actually was just, you know, I was out for my morning run going, what am I missing being down here? You know, why is it that people think I need to be here? And I was like, what people do not understand is what I've got in the Highlands, where this is my sanctuary. This is just a place of healing energy where I feel alive. And I don't have that negativity and stress and, you know, surrounded by people stressed out on the tube and traveling and what have you. I have space and I have beautiful mountains and lakes and, you know, trees to see. And it made me actually realize, you know, like, no, they don't get it. Like, I've been in this real conflict about, oh, maybe I need to move because of my business. And I was like, no, I am exactly where I need to be.
And, you're absolutely right.
You know, to get back into that flow and create what I need to create here. This is the place. And yeah, it's just interesting that you said about that. But I also wanted to pick up on what Simon said about, you know, just being in that flow and things happening and it just happening with ease. One of the fundamental things is that we have to get our mindset right first. I mean, you've obviously done a lot of soul searching, personal development, Simon. You know, you know, you can tell that is just oozing out of you now and you're in flow. But, you know, anyone sort of listening to this and thinking, well, I'm not there and things don't go easy for me and I'm struggling and life is bloody difficult, you know, the first place that we have to start is becoming super self-aware and becoming of the conflict that we have and what we're doing that goes against our energy and our flow and our happiness and our joy. You know, and I had a friend the other day and he's gone traveling recently and he was, you know, just in real conflict. He was just like, I don't think I set my intention about what I wanted to get out of this, you know, out of my travels. And I said, well, how about just, you know, making a list of the things that bring you joy and the things that don't, and just look at those two lists and work out what you're actually, how much time you spend on those activities that bring you joy. And, you know, he went away, did that, came back, 24 hours, he says, okay, so I had a night of not drinking and I had 10 hours sleep. And he said, you know, I feel recharged, I feel better. And I said, okay, so you've been doing the party and lifestyle because that's what you thought you had to do. But how much of that was actually bringing you joy? And that's what we're so conditioned by in society. Well, this is what you do. You go to work, you work these long hours, you party hard, you play hard, you work hard. And yeah, it's just creating a whole kind of mental stress and, you know, a society that's breaking down and you know, no community, no everything. We're being killed by convenience. And
Yeah,
you know, I do think it's just stripping it back and going, okay, well, actually, what brings you joy? Really make a list of what brings you joy and how much time you actually spend on those activities. Because I don't think any of us really stop and think to sort of go, well, what does make me happy? You know, because I remember being asked this 10 years ago when I went for my very first life coaching session. You know, my life coach said, what do you want from life? And I went, you know, initially I was like, I don't know. And then I said, well, I just want to be happy. And then, you know, he says, well, what brings you happiness? And I was like, I have no idea. And most of us are just on that treadmill and we don't ever stop to reflect and say, well, what am I doing? Is this bringing me joy? Is it in keeping with my core values? And what are my core values?
It's funny. That's why I started this podcast, because I didn't know what brought me joy. I had no idea why I'm doing this life.
Yeah.
And, what I discovered is running has helped me kind of get some more balance in that.
Oh, yeah. God, it does, doesn't it? Sue, just to add to that, I'd say go tell those people who say you need to move to clear off. I lived on a mountain and my neighbours were sheep and I still managed to treble my business. Yeah. And it just you have the internet. You've got a great voice. You've got the skills. You've got the talent. You could be global. It's not, you know, it's an old paradigm. People go, oh, you should be here. Why? Well, I didn't go to London for 2 years. I still, you know, I've got clients globally. It's a nonsense. That's their living their story and putting that onto you. No.
Well, that's what I actually realized. I was like, you're projecting this part of you, you know, because I kind of looked at them and think, well, actually, well, look, let's look at your lifestyle. You're actually not that happy. You know, why are you trying to drag me into your unhappiness? I'm really happy where I am. You know, I really love my life. And just because you don't get it, that's nothing to do with me. So yeah. So thank you, Simon. No, I
good for you to stick in two guns.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to pick up on a point that Susie said, and I think I'm going to start bringing this together now. So what does occur to me is, obviously, I'm putting this out on January the 1st, purely and simply because it's just a night. That is the week of the 50th show, so that's when this will go out. But obviously, a lot of people have that kind of sense or that desire, or they're going to need to find somewhere. There's that pressure to have goals for the year, have a plan or do something. So how could we advise people? What could we say? Because what I am conscious of is this thing about, yes, have a goal, but as you say, Simon, it's the wanting. How do you get to that place where you can hold a loose goal or an intention where you can, you know, I love this idea. Someone said to me, I fall towards my direction of travel. I choose a direction of travel rather than a goal. But, you know, people need that tangibility. So how can we set something for people, give people something to kind of hold on to?
To be honest, I would say what Susie says, screw goals. I would say write a list. That's the thing, to write a list of what makes you happy. In fact, no, what gives you joy? What brings you joy? And work that out, because that's what you want to be falling towards, going towards. And then look at, just evaluate your life. And rather than, well, I've got to do this, I've got to, no, you don't have to do anything. You know, because everything is actually perfect. It's you know, your path is laid out for you. But work out what brings me joy. I would say do that, and then stay in that feeling of, wow, if you had that, how would you feel right now? Susie have more to do on this, being the coach. But how do you feel if you were there? What would you do? And then just think, okay, well, I could probably do that. And then rather than, well, I've got, because Bob has set his goals to get a Ferrari and Jim has done this and Jane has done that, whatever. Well, screw what they're doing. What does it mean to you? It could be actually you want to take up cooking, because that really brings you joy, because it's about family, it's about love, it's about conversations. If that's the thing, go for it. But you know what? Ignore all the, all, for me, I would say ignore all the social media stuff and people setting goals and posting pictures of them having an amazing time, which, you know, most of the time is all nonsense. It's just thinking what the life is out there. What is it for you? This is your time. Give your time space and love and work out what brings you joy. This is your time. That's what I would say.
Just picking up on that as the other thing. And well, first of all, I'm not a coach. I am just somebody that has spent 10 years looking at my own life and transforming my own life. So this is me just passing on nuggets of wisdom that I've learned along my journey. But one of the things...
I'm going to stop you there because I think you are a coach. You just don't have the label yet.
Well, I know. It comes down to these qualifications and stuff. And Yeah, I pass on my nuggets of wisdom, and I know I inspire people, but yeah, I don't know, I feel uncomfortable with the label, I suppose. But just in terms of filling your, you know, the joy, once you've worked out that thing, I mean, one thing that New Year's resolutions, it's all about giving up stuff, you know, it's all about, sorry, my cat is sat all on the keyboard. So, New Year's resolutions is all about giving up stuff, you know, giving up smoking, giving up drink, you know, going on a diet, giving up the foods that you enjoy and all the rest of it. Now, some of that might be important for you to do, but if you focus on the things that bring you joy and you just start filling your life up with those things that bring you joy, it naturally squeezes out the stuff that doesn't bring you joy. So you don't feel like you're actually giving up something. You're just, you know, you just don't have room for it anymore. It's because your life is filled with all the other stuff that, you know, is serving you and is giving you meaning and connection and community and purpose. So you don't even think about the other stuff. It just naturally, organically squeezes out of your life, you know, but it's one step, and it's just trying to remember you don't have to do it all at once. You know, we all fundamentally know one area that we need to work on, and it's just target that and go, okay, you know, is it essentially I need to get more sleep? Do I need to spend more time with my family? Do I need to exercise more? Or, you know, work out why you're doing these things, you know, because If you're thinking why, you know, it's because society says I said, or it's because on social media, or because it's for my health. But okay, if you're doing it for your health, that's great. But is it because you want to live longer? Is it because you want to be around your family? Or is it just because you think you should do it? Because if you think you should do it, then that is never going to be a motivating, inspiring reason for doing it. So yeah, take the things, try new things. I think that's the key to things. Because sometimes, you know, if you're trying to work out what brings you joy and you don't have a clue, then the first step is to actually just try new things and go, okay, I've tried this. No, I've discovered I don't actually like that. Actually, I don't like running, or I don't like yoga or meditating or whatever it might be. Work out what is right for you and, you know, close out everybody else and everyone else's influences. Just try new things and take it from there.
Love it. Brilliant.
I love it. And that's so, so true. Because at the end of the day, if you want to be inspired, you've got to go and do something inspiring. But if you don't know what that is, you've got to try a lot of things.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that can be challenging if you've not got self-esteem or confidence issues, you know, you feel a bit nervous. And, you know, that's another reason why I set up what I do, because if I had not had Alistair, the life coach that helped me, you know, I met 10 years ago, he became, and it still is, a positive role model in my life. Now, had I not had that role model, it wouldn't, you know, who knows where I would have been. I certainly wouldn't be the happy, healthy individual that I am now. I might not have even been here today, you know, with the challenges that I experienced. But, you know, what I set up Change Your World for is because I wanted to be a role model, not just me, but like bringing all the speakers and the platform that I create so that people could learn from others. Because I don't think we've got role models in society anymore. You know, we don't have inspiring bosses. We have family that are struggling around us. And even if you do try to improve yourself, they can be really threatened by that, so that they, you know, they can criticize the positive changes that you're making. And, you know, we tend to not, everyone's just dealing with their own battles. So, you know, there's no kind of positive influences anywhere. So, you know,
if you look at social media, you look at, you know, what you should, and certainly young girls, you know, they look at the types of, you know, Kim Kardashian, well, I need to look like that. God, so, you know, there's young teenagers, barely teenagers, having plastic surgery.
I know.
Like, what is going on?
I know.
Why are they?
That's because we've replaced the idea of leaders with culture, with celebrity culture.
Oh well, I love the line. I like to, don't shoot the messenger, but you know when we stop making stupid people famous,
yeah,
and it's just like what you know people are famous for doing what? I mean, I don't want to be led by someone who's been on reality TV show. Yeah,
no. When I was a kid, the famous people were actually athletes or people that had done something, or people that. I mean, I remember when you know one of the British team went climbed Everest. Guy with the glasses and the beard. I can't remember his name now. But I remember
Chris Bonington.
Chris Bonington. I remember following Bonington's route up Everest. He was a role model in a way.
Yeah. Absolutely. These people are trained. I mean, you think now, you know, I haven't watched the program, but like Gogglebox, so you're famous for sitting on a sofa while watching TV?
While you're doing it.
What's going on? Really?
Anyway, we can get into this one. This is a whole new can of worms.
This isn't to slag people off, but just be aware of the what influences your take, you know, if you're surrounding yourself with social media and TV programs and soap operas, things like that, is that a positive influence? Does it make you, does it add joy to your life? Does it add fun? All that? Does it add love? Well, if it doesn't, what do you want more of?
Well, what I would say though about social media, it can used positively, it is an amazing resource.
Oh, of course,
and there are
yes.
people out there on social media that are doing amazing things. But it's tap into those people, you know.
Company included.
Yeah, oh, thank you. But it is that thing of, you know, it's the same as media. All these influences, they can be used in such a positive way. However, we have to take ownership about who we choose to connect with and, you know, follow and, you know, who we're going to tap into. So, I mean, this social media, Facebook, all these, there are amazing people out there that are doing inspiring things. Tap into those people, you know, and learn from other people that are doing, they are making positive changes in their life, you know, connect with them, you know, I mean, that is the beauty of social media. It can connect you with people and create communities that normally you wouldn't be able to tap into, you wouldn't have access. So that is the positive thing, but it is up to the individual to take ownership about who they engage with. But that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susie. So I'll put it over to you. Do you want to have a last word, Simon?
I've said the bit. I think I think, you know, so, for the new year, look at what brings you joy, but also look at yourself in the mirror and go, you know what? I am loved. I do love me. Look at you. Don't judge yourself. What did they say? Comparison. There's a great line about comparison. Don't compare yourself with other people. Be you and start looking after you. Because if you don't love you, you're going to attract people who will misuse you or attract situations which will misuse you. So you've got to start with you first. If you're going to be a force for good in the planet, you've got to look after yourself and look at what you're doing and who you are. You know, it's not an egotistical thing or, you know, loving yourself in that kind of way. It's just
self-care.
Because when you come from, self-care, absolutely right. So I would start that as well. But thank you, Paul, and thank you, Susie, for, you know, listening to me.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking the time out to be with me today. It's been a joy to have you both back on the program. And, yeah, we've explored this topic and who knows how this will help people. I have no idea if this is right, wrong or anything. What I know, it works for us because I think the three of us probably do this process. So thank you for the time and attention and being here. It's been great to be with you guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Lovely to talk to you, Simon, again.
And
thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
And Happy New Year, everyone.
And Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year. I forgot about that one. And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey, Simon Jordan and Susie Beaumont. I hope you enjoyed our reflections and conversations around vision, and I hope it gave you something to grab onto. So you can find the details of my speakers, my guests, at the website, and you'll also find links to the original podcasts. So as ever, I would like to thank you for your time and attention, and it only remains me to wish you a happy new year again, and to say I will catch you later when we discover more about how to live a passionate life. All the best, and thanks for listening.